The energy industry is probably the most politicized. It has, I would say now, probably the most, one of the most profound impacts on the environment. So that obviously impacts the political nature of it. The political nature by itself is driven by prices at the pump, cost of electricity. I mean, it is. But then you have an overarching economic theme, and then you have both state-level constituencies and issues, as well as federal macro issues.
That's Jamie Welch, head of global energy for Credit Suisse. He appeared on the Sector Spotlight Energy Panel at the M&A Outlook 2008, presented by The Deal, at the Ritz Battery Park in New York on November 7, 2007. I'm Jason Lopez. After the panel, I spoke with him and fellow panelist Richard Vicari, VP of Mergers and Acquisitions at Sempra Energy. I asked them to briefly define the challenges in the energy sector.
What we're trying to see is, in fact, create more of a broader umbrella under which, in this country, we can see a much more efficient infrastructure for getting molecules of energy and electrons to the consumer, or in fact the price of gas, the pump, so that people basically get energy at a much more cost competitive and much more beneficial basis. The problem is we are so fragmented. The problem is you have so many constituencies. The problem is you can't build a new power plant because it doesn't matter just about politics. It's also the Sierra Club and it's other environmentalists who believe that a new coal plant obviously further entrenches us as being against correcting the environmental impact that we have for both industry both industry at a broader level as well as the energy industry itself. So it's very difficult to try to get everything done.
Now, Richard, it was interesting to have an energy guy on stage there who was talking about the environment.
In today's day and age, if you are not keeping your eye on that constituency, you will go nowhere, because there's not much you can do in any field in the energy business where the environment doesn't have a role. Sometimes it's the number one role, sometimes it's a rather modest one. But, you know, the landscape is changing. Jamie mentioned coal. You know, if you're trying to build a conventional coal-fired power plant, and you don't factor in the environmental dynamics, it's never gonna happen. So I just think it's a fact of life.
Real estate is a sector that has flourished even in the face of the recent credit crisis. Mark Facher, Senior Vice President of TBC Solutions, was a panelist on the Real Estate Sector Spotlight.
What we focus on is assets that people view as being marginal. We're focusing on the corporate real estate that's contaminated. You have the convergence of not only the subprime issues, but also you have the advent of SOX, Sarbanes-Oxley, and the audit requirement. You have the new accounting rules, which are FAS 143, FIN 47. All of these laws require these companies to recognize and acknowledge the environmental liabilities. And so what you have is the inability to get rid of these distressed assets. And what we do is give cost certainty to that. We quantify that risk, and then it enables the companies to get rid of that real estate. And it's really created a new paradigm for getting rid of this real estate. So what is it? One man's burdens, another man's benefit, and that seems to run true with us.
The idea of a bubble or the idea of overheating hasn't really come about the way that people have said that it would. You look at other industries like technology, of course, bubbles happen all the time. They say we're in one right now, but we very well could be. But it seems like real estate is always able to buffer those that idea of a bubble. Why is that?
It's incredible. I think, first of all, you can't say that generally. You have to look at the markets. I think in the primary and to a lesser extent the secondary markets, that's true. The tertiary markets are getting killed. I mean, there's no interest there. You can't get the returns. I think the reality is that there's still, I read just last week, there's still $5 chasing every $1 worth of deal. And so when that happens, when the demand remains high and the supply is short, there's only one thing that can happen, and that is there's price stability. So I think that's what we're seeing, especially in the quality assets, in the specialty assets. You have private equity fueling a lot of this demand for product. We are looking at right now, somebody wants to purchase an airport. The play is to not only latch on to the real estate and the operational income of the airport, but also they're going to develop the balance of the large assemblage of property. So it's that $5 chasing after the $1 that usually means you're going to have high prices.
The third sector spotlight, healthcare, ran in the late afternoon. I spoke with panelist Ken Berliner, president of the Peter J. Solomon Company.
Healthcare impacts everybody, and you know, the challenges and opportunities are different for a Main Street versus Wall Street. For Main Street, it's really an issue of containing costs, improving care, you know, maximizing productivity, and frankly, elongating life. I mean, everybody wants to live longer, and everybody wants to live healthier. For Wall Street, Wall Street's more driven by profitability, money making, you know, and converting a dollar today to $2 or $3 tomorrow. So they're not always totally in sync with one another. The challenges for Wall Street are to continue to find good investments, good management teams, and then seed those management teams with enough money in order to grow into, you know, very profitable companies, which then hopefully can provide all of the products to Main Street that will, you know, service, you know, all of those needs that we just talked about.
Really, what it all comes down to, and listening to a lot of people on stage here talk today, whether it's about private companies, public companies, whatever it is, it comes down to management. How much does that play into it?
Well, I think that's the vast majority of it. I think those companies that are trading well because the management teams are excellent. I think those companies that are purchased by private equity firms because they think that they can allow management to prosper in the private arena versus the public arena. I think those companies that buy other companies are either buying healthy companies to get their management, or they're buying unhealthy companies because they're not managed as well. So I think you're right. I think management is critical at the end of the day.
When you look at 2008 versus 2006, in the healthcare segment, what do you foresee happening in the next year, year and a half?
Well, 2006 was the peak. I think 2007 is going to be down slightly. I think 2008 will probably be down a little bit more. But I don't think it will be down as much as it will be in other industries. So while I see a slight decline in an overall number of deals and dollar value of deals, I don't think it will be that great at the end of the day.
Where are the hot areas in healthcare right now?
I think that the areas that you'll continue to see activity in will be in the services area, more so than perhaps technology. I think in emerging areas like disease management, especially distribution, especially pharmacy, all of those active areas will continue to be active.
For podtech.net, I'm Jason Lopez in New York at the Deals M&A Outlook 2008.